Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Odyssey and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. What a high it was, Jack Fritz. Friday night, maybe the moment of the season to date. The Christian Pache, like a man, home run. And, you know, the 13-game winning streak, really an amazing accomplishment. You know, one time, other time in the history of the franchise in 76. So, you know, it was a really thrilling night on Friday night. The most fun night of Phillies baseball, regular season baseball, that I remember in a little while outside of, like, actually clinching a playoff spot. So, it was awesome. And then kind of, you know, petered out the last two. It was a great run on the road. They are in really fine shape entering the second half of the season. Annoying way to end the first half, especially against the team you're trailing. But, amazing night Friday night. And I'm hanging on to that. How you doing, pal?
Me too.
And the draft tonight, like the most important, you know, thing. Anyway.
Right. It was vintage. I'll say that. It was a nice, I think the nicest part about this weekend, which I feel like is a good way to put it, is that they're still the Phils, you know, like they're
nice.
Just when you think you can sit back and they're just going to go play good baseball. They're like, Hey, we're still here. We're still here. Yep. So, grand scheme of things, not that big of a deal. Yesterday was annoying. We'll get into Ranger. And today was the most day before the All-Star break kind of effort I think I've seen in a while. Because last year they went down to Miami and took 2-3. And I'm glad they won.
Wait. So the Chicago series was on the other side of the break, right? They came out and lost.
They came out of the break and got swept.
Totally. Yes.
They came out of the break and got swept.
Sorry.
So, I'm happy they won Friday. I also think it was probably the worst thing that could have happened to them because
that's why they lost the next two, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Like, it was such a high that they just kind of couldn't get back there.
Yeah. So, it happened. It stinks. They lost 2-3 to the Marlins, who are a good team. They just swept the Rays. They've been on an unbelievable run. Just like, deep breaths. I think that might be the title of the podcast. Deep breaths.
Love it.
It's just like it happened. They're not gonna like to go in and take 2-3 from the Marlins would have been an upset. And they went down there. They won Friday night. They didn't get swept. I don't know. It's just like I can't do the whole they lose a game. Here we go. Everything's falling apart again. Kind of thing. Like they've earned our trust from that standpoint. And there are some good things to take away from this weekend. Some vintage things to take away from this weekend. But overall, the drafts tonight, not letting the Phils ruin.
How could they, buddy? You're absolutely right. Look, I'm 100% with you. Deep breaths. This might be the quickest into a podcast that we've just acknowledged and agreed what the title of the podcast is. Because absolutely, man. Look, they're 7 games above 500. They've played great baseball since June 1st. They had their best win of the season in a really emotional moment to tie a team record. And then they had a letdown game and then another. Like, it happens, especially with the All-Star break right on the other side of it, how they come out of the break. And you know, those first couple weeks, we're going to get, I think they're going to be fine. And that's going to be where, you know, we're going to be able to feel fine again, or at least the people who don't. But look, it was also a kind of a long road trip when you just take out that one random home series too, you know, like they're on the road, come home for a weird 3-game series against the Nationals where they look completely flat the entire thing, except for the, you know, 2 of the 3 and then the 19-4, obviously sandwich. But then, you know, like then they're back on the road to Florida for a tough 6 games. You know, if honestly, if we went into the Florida stretch saying no matter how you shake it, you would take 4 of 6 in a second. You'd be ecstatic about 4 of 6 on that specific Florida trip against these teams, the way they had been playing. So, yeah, deep breaths, man. It's like very frustrating to see them not show up after what felt like, all right, we're about to win 15 straight road games heading in the All-Star break. Let's go. But yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I can't get too worked up. They played great baseball going into the break.
Right. And I think Friday is still one of those moments where it's like we look back on that at the end of the year and we say, like, I had so many thoughts of the Phillies video yearbook, obviously. Like, no, it was set up perfectly for it. Just set up perfectly for it. So, yeah, like the Friday night was one of those moments. And I think that in the grand scheme of things, when we look back at the end of the year, like, I just don't think that series is ultimately going to change that much. I think they face Jesus Luzardo, who was just like, was stupid today. Braxton Garrett, they actually did a pretty good job against early yesterday, but he's been really, really good this year. I mean, the Marlins are like, it sucks. It's annoying. I hate Garrett Cooper with every fiber of my being. Wow. Can I just permission to call my shot here?
Sure.
Okay. So, you know how like for years, in the middle 2000s, the Phillies just brought in a bunch of ex-Marlins that we didn't like.
Yeah. Like, yes, absolutely. For
Conine,
sure.
Wes Helms.
Conine was the very first one that popped in my head. But yes, Wes Helms, they hate that guy, as we've covered.
Yes.
Yes.
Garrett Cooper is going to be a Phil at some point.
I could very much see that. He's raking right now for them, of course. He'll come here and stink, but he's raking for them. They've been great. They've been a really good baseball team. Like, in the grand scheme of things, there's no shame to losing 2 of 3 in their ballpark. I mean, be happy they didn't lose 3. They were a Christian Pache, not just a bat, but a Christian Pache ball that feels like it might have carried more than any ball I've ever, like, that felt like it was Colorado or something. It felt like it was like, oh, that's like a lazy fly out, and all of a sudden it's like going, and guy keeps running and he's looking up, and I'm like, what? I'm like, is this going to be a home run? Like, it was so unlikely from every moment about it. So unlikely. So,
you know,
thrilling win.
People are ripping Murph. They're like, how could you call it as a pop-up?
We all did. Are you kidding me? Like, there is not a single person watching that who thought that was a home run. Not one. No way.
Thought it was a pop-up. So, I don't know. It's annoying having to give credit to another team, and it feels excuse making ish. But this is like no one's better at having like a meltdown about the current state of the Phils. Mm-hmm. Like, I can get there from 0 to 60 mm-hmm. real quick. It's not the time for me. It's just not the time. You know, like, I just, the Marlins are good. I hate having to give them credit, but they're good. And like the smartest thing I think the Marlins did is they went after a bunch of contact hitters and like a bunch of I think they lead Major League Baseball in opposite field hits. And it just makes like with that ballpark, given that it's hard to hit home runs there, it makes sense. Like they're a pesky, tough, annoying team. And the thing that I I'll be curious what you thought about this, dude. How in the world is their bullpen ERA 20th in baseball?
It felt like, yeah.
Everyone like, they have come out there is like 96 with like 6 sink and a wipeout slider.
Totally. They felt like unhittable, those guys. I'm right there with you. And you're right about the lineup. Like, it's the lineup that just goes out there and puts a bat on the ball and gets themselves in advantageous situations and is able to take advantage of other teams' mistakes when they make them. And that's what happens when you're able to do it. And look, Arias coming in, like, the least shocking thing of the entire series is Arias coming in that spot and getting the big hit pinch hit. Like, it's like, of course that was going to happen, you know? So they're pesky and they're annoying. And that's the thing, is that for a while, the Marlins have been pesky and annoying just for the Phillies, just for us. Now they're good. Like, they're a good baseball team with a lot of young talent, and they believe in themselves and they play smart baseball. I mean, look, there were certainly some Phillies moments that, you know, were incredibly frustrating to see, like Schwarber not running that ball out all the way. And I think he was safe, but like, whatever, he didn't deserve to be safe. He stopped running. You know, there are so many little things. I mean, Harper, like, and we'll get him getting hit and that whole thing, but I mean, him trying to take third there, like, that was just dumb. Like, how many times this guy, and we love aggressive base running on this pod, like Bryson Stott, love you, dude. Love what you're doing. Keep doing all you're doing. Like, we love it. Like, this guy goes from aggressive to stupid all the freaking time. It's like, and you know, it's because he gets hit and he's frustrated and he wants to do something. It's like, dude, like, stop it. That was a big spot in the game. You know, maybe don't lose that game. Like, so there's so much that you can point to over the last two games that were incredibly frustrating because it felt like a team that, you know, kind of after winning the 13th straight after the Pache homer kind of just reverted back for a couple of days, but that's baseball and it sucks, but they're going to the All-Star break. Like Jack said too, it's not like they're going into the playoffs and have to win these games as much as we want them to feel that way.
Yeah. And I got a quick thought on Bryce with the base running thing.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure he's jealous of Ellie De La Cruz. I think he's just.
Oh, I like that. He's like, oh, this guy is so cool.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to be a cool guy. Ellie. I mean, Ellie is just is unbelievable. Yeah. But yeah, I think the Bryce base running thing, it's just like
wild, man.
There's mostly no need for it. And
he saves sometimes, but he gets thrown out all the freaking time, man. It's wild.
He does.
I don't ever remember a Philly in my lifetime being thrown out on the base paths more, like in my life ever.
Victorino, I felt like got thrown out a lot.
Sure, that's a decent one, but like I just the frequency with which Harburn gets thrown out on the
it's out of control.
Astounding.
It's out of control. I mean, again, sometimes he'll steal your run every once. It's just
sure.
It's sometimes this team is no team in baseball. I think like it's funny. Even when they win series, I'm like, they win series. I still don't see the opposing team like really doing like when opposing team does dumb stuff to the Phillies. It's like it stands out. I feel like
totally. Meanwhile, like the Mets series was like, look at the Mets, haha, yeah. Totally.
Meanwhile, when the Phillies do it, and it's like they win series despite it, where it's just like, how do you? Why are you like? That's not smart at all. But whatever, they keep winning and good vibes, baby. That's what the Phillies are. They not fundamental baseball and good vibes. That's Phillies baseball.
Yeah,
and they have a 185 hitter hitting leadoff.
Yeah, who's like the vibes captain? Him and Stubbsy is the vibes captains. Yeah. It's a great point though. That really, I mean, again, and then the defense. You know, Trey Turner.
Who needs
like,
it?
Guy Trey Turner like seems like he forgets to play shortstop every few games.
Bohm at first today was
Bohm. Finally, you know, I was praising him like he's like a vacuum now. Of course, you know, and then. You know, obviously Schwarber just a train wreck. It was, you know, obviously you don't want to see Harper out of the line, but it was nice not to see Schwarber in the field today. All right, let's get to some of the moments from thing. Let's start with the Harper thing because you know, I think that certainly in the moments it felt like potentially the biggest news of the series and all that. You know, right on the surgically repaired elbow, it's like terrific. And I saw a lot of people being like, "Why doesn't he just wear padding?" And you know, I kind of agree, but it's also like if he feels uncomfortable hitting with it, like he's already not hitting the way he wants, he keeps taking the batting gloves off and on and all that. He's clearly not comfortable, but it looks like he's going to be okay. X-rays negative, all that stuff.
So I look forward to him missing at least a month,
3 weeks at least. What were your take me through you in the moment and just your general thoughts about the whole Harper thing there?
My thought in the moment, I don't know. My thought in the moment was more like, never mind, it's fine. So like the Bryce thing is definitely, I mean, he gets hit there. It feels like all the time, mm-hmm. I guess I didn't have the panic that I felt like after he got hit last year.
I didn't either.
I thought it was more like he's gonna miss tomorrow. He's gonna like but getting the All-Star break
and plays stuff up. We know. Like we have definitely seen him like massaging things or like wincing and all that.
He did try to steal third immediately. Yeah, after
exactly. It, so. And it's like he stayed in the game and then obviously came out. It's like, uh-oh, I'm with you, dude. Like the one in San Diego, you knew. Like he was 100%. Like you could tell that he knew that he's was absolutely screwed for at least a period of time with that one. Like this one, I agree with you. It didn't feel that way. It felt like he was like more in shock and nervous.
Well, and I don't. And by the way, like, don't blame him there either. He's got major surgery there. He's gotten hit What the
bro? I don't blame anyone who gets hit by a 90 plus mile per hour pitch. You keep, I would be in the like in the fetal position for an hour in tears if I got hit with one of those pitches.
But that is the third straight year it's happened. Genesis Cabrera, yeah, Blake Snell,
face, and,
and now this. So
that's a great point. I didn't think about that, Jack. He is at he has a significant Yeah, you're right.
It's every year. Now this one doesn't feel as bad as those, but still.
No.
And then Stock got hit today.
Yeah, and no one threw it to Marlin, did they? It's like, enough. Like, what are we doing here? I tweeted about it. I'm like, enough with our best hit players getting hit. Like, on the arm, you know? It's like, enough. But do something.
Oh, did we have a little old-school seltzer?
Yeah.
Well, wow.
Especially with a lifeless team today, a team that didn't seem at any point to really get anything going outside of, like, the Amundo homer and then, like, a little bit here and there. It's like show some life. Like, Nola never would. Like, I had no thought that Nola would, but like Soto coming in, I thought maybe Soto wouldn't, you know, take a shot or something, but I don't know. Whatever.
No, didn't happen, but no. That's not the game anymore.
I feel anymore, like Kimbrel's so. Kimbrel and Alvarado.
Kimbrel would have done it for sure.
Yeah. Kimbrel and Alvarado, I feel like, are the only two dudes on this team who I feel. Oh, and Strom, I'm surprised Strom didn't. Like, I could have seen Strom doing it, but I guess he didn't. So Kimbrel and Alvarado are the only two I have faith in to do that in that moment.
Well, the problem with Kimbrel would have been that he would have had a pitch clock violation. So like, he would have gotten it off just late. He is the it's one of my favorite bits with the current Phillies team is him and the
just giving up strikes. Yeah.
Like, he can't figure it out. He's gotta do it.
Whatever.
He's gotta do the arm thing.
Yeah, yeah. He can't help it. How about Schwarber freaking ending an inning with a pitch lock violation? It's like, guys, come on.
So I know this is gonna sound a little let off the hooky. I just don't blame it for not running it to yesterday. Like,
I didn't hate it as much as everyone else did, but like, he definitely did not run.
I agree, he didn't run. I'm just saying that when a pitcher has it in his glove and you're just barely out of the box,
it's human nature. It's human nature.
Like, you're obviously frustrated in the moment. Like, it's just Schwarber is the new, like, everyone's just got every little thing he does.
Yeah.
Every little thing he does, everyone's got to rip him for everything. And like, dude, I think with Schwarber, like, I guess I can separate my frustration with him from like wanting him benched and he's a bad player. And I know that's like not allowed, you know, but I just think I need him to go on a hot streak here, though, to calm it all down.
Because big time.
And hopefully this All-Star break comes at the right time. Because I think he's banged up with something.
They all need the All-Star break. I think it's a perfect time. With all the road games. I mean, they have the most home games of any team in baseball in the second half. Like, they play way more road games than anyone else. So, you know, if you're looking for optimism, I'll give you a little bit there.
What am I going to do without the Phils until Friday?
Like, oh, I know, dude. You're going to go crazy. Well, I'll tell you one thing you're going to do. You're going to hang out with our people Sports Bar in Huntington Valley, coming out with us, all courtesy of Miller Lite. We're all going to watch the All-Star game together. Like, you can make fun of me for how tired I'm going to be. Jack has the week off, so he's going to be in peak, happy, chilling Jack mode. So it's going to be great. We're going to all hang out. It's courtesy of Miller Lite. It's going to be so much fun. So coming out with us, it's going to be the All-Star Game watch party. We'll go watch the game. You can maybe see little Nick Castellanos action. Craig Kimbrel maybe will save it out. Who knows? The pitch clock for the All-Star Game, I assume. I hadn't thought about that, but I would assume they use that, right?
Yeah, would have to.
Got to, yeah. So that'll be fun. History being made there again. That'll be thrilling. Yeah. So, yeah.
I think
it's going to be awesome.
What would be the funniest thing Rob Thompson could do as the manager?
Rob's the manager. I forgot about it. That's even better. It's great.
Well, and the whole coaching staff's gone.
Yeah, the funniest thing he could do is the manager.
Well, it's probably bad if they could find a 200 hitter to bat leadoff. I think that would be
such a good bit. Oh my god, I'm guessing there aren't too many 200 hitting all stars at the All Star game. Though I guess Schwarber was one last year. Yeah, it's a great question. What's the funniest thing you can do?
Well, I guess if K-Long's
there. Take all the Braves out after the first inning. Like, they're like eight, there's like six starting or whatever. Just take them all out after the first inning.
See, I'd appreciate that.
That would be hilarious. All of Philadelphia would be very grateful for that, you know, act of hilarity from Rob Thompson. Yeah. I think that's
what it would be there. I'm looking forward to it.
A million Braves in the game. Oh, get out.
I'm looking forward to the Topper at the All-Star game.
He's going to be cool.
He's going to do what Rob Thompson does. And that's put on a show.
Yeah. Well, it's also, look, for him, that's probably a really neat thing. I mean, there's a baseball lifer who is, you know, as lifer as it gets with all the levels and all the stuff to get to be the manager of the All-Star game. Like, you know, we might not care about the All-Star game like we used to, but I'm sure for Rob Thompson, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. But so, you know what I don't get? You know what I don't get is, like, the MLB All-Star game is far and away the best. By far. Like, they are still trying, and it is still mano-a-mano with pitcher and hitter. And like,
pitchers throwing their best stuff and hitters trying their best against the best pitchers. I agree.
Dude, like,
it's just lost its luster. Like,
when I was young,
like, for starters, like, the American League and National League didn't play each other. So the All-Star game was like, wow, I get to see, you know, this guy against this guy. That's so cool. I never face each other. Like, wow. You know, that kind of stuff. It was neat. Like, from that perspective, like, wow, Roger Clemens against Barry Bonds. Whoa, that's awesome. You know, that kind of stuff. But then even after that, you know, I think because everyone gets to see all these guys all the time, and we didn't used to see all the players. You didn't have like the ticket, you know, the package and all that, whatever. It is what it is. It's definitely the best All-Star game by far, and it's still fun to watch. But yeah,
I don't know. I think the MLB All-Star game is pretty good theater if you're a baseball fan.
Yeah, like, I agree. I'm just saying it's not what it used to be.
I mean, who could forget when Nola struck out Mookie? I mean, maybe his
pinnacle moment as a player.
Yeah. Well, he didn't miss many bats today. I mean, holy cow. I've never seen the Marlins look so, I was fearful of some of the Marlins hitters.
Oh my God. I mean, the homer to make it 5-0 was such a tank shot. Was it that one? Yeah. Like, it was just such a tank shot. Even 4-0. The one to make it 4-0 was just like a freaking, like, it looked like Stanton was back in Miami hitting home runs. All right, let's get to it, because that, you know, obviously from today and again, coming out with this timeout on Tuesday night, it's going to be awesome. All right. I mean, the most Aaron Nola thing of all time, has his best start, we said, since, you know, either the Houston game last year or since Boston in 2018, you know, one of the best starts in forever. And then, you know, he comes out today and it's just like, just didn't have it. They were slapping it around the field off.
Yeah, and you know, he's had a home run problem this year. I mean, it's probably been the biggest problem with him.
He leads Major League Baseball. I knew he was up there, but I guess today he took the league. Congrats, buddy.
Always have to be the best.
Like high 30s. That's a lot of home runs, man.
It's a crap ton of home runs.
It's an insane amount of home runs. Like, if you give up more home runs than starts you make, really? Like, that's not great, dude.
Seems like a problem. Yeah. I have no idea. Like, I swear to you, James, like, I just have no idea what to say about Aaron Nola anymore. Yeah, like, I really don't. Because and it's the funniest thing ever, because he just had two great starts in a row. He went Braves. He was really good against the Braves, and then he shut down the Rays. And he has to be the biggest conundrum of any Philly athlete I've ever seen.
Because
he has value. Like, Aaron Nola has value. He takes the ball every fifth day. He pitches into the sixth inning every single start. He strikes out a
top
guy.
Five in Cy Young twice. Like, top five in Cy Young. Like, that's like no joke.
And then he just does like a game like that today, and it's like, there it is. Like that's Aaron Nola. Like, he just, I keep waiting for that month where he just gets on a roll and wins like five starts. But at this point, it continues to be more wishful thinking. Like, he's going to have his good starts. He's had a couple of them in his last, last four or whatever, but then he's going to do that. And it's just gonna throw the whole kind of conversation off. I mean, again, third in the Cy Young last year. He was, 18 was the best pitching season we've had around here in a while.
Until Wheeler in 21 or whatever.
Yeah, I think
Nola might have been better. Nola might have been better, but Wheeler was pretty great in 21.
He was. He was. Yeah. I just thought 18 and all was on another
might
level
have been
for me.
Might have been.
But I don't know. I'm almost. The good part, I guess, is that he's lowering his value with every one of these.
What I was going to say, like, the contract push is just tough this, look, buddy.
By the way, I mean, usually in contract years, it's a different result. And then this is the exact opposite. This is actually the most Phillies outcome, frankly.
I totally agree with you. I totally couldn't agree more with you. Like, this is so on brand, dude. It's so on brand.
Well,
like,
and honestly, the key part about the NOLA contract now is obviously the Painter thing, because now that we have no idea what we're getting out of Painter. Yeah. So the NOLA contract,
it was good news after, but like, I thought it was a lock for Tommy John, but he still might need Tommy John. Like, this is not like, he's young. Like, who knows what they decide to do?
They can't let NOLA go.
Well, the other point with NOLA too is that, like, ideally the best thing for NOLA, I think, is like what they did with Wheeler last year. I just think, you know, the amount of innings he's put on his arm the last few years, particularly pitching deep into, you know, into November last year, that I think that, you know, he would benefit from like a month off. But when this guy is pitching for a contract, like, you can't tell him like, take a month off. You know what I mean? Like, that it's a tough situation there. So I think that, honestly, the smartest thing for the team would be to try and find him at least a few weeks off to give that arm a rest, to get it more important for, you know, a run. But, you know, because if he doesn't, I don't know I think we'll still see flashes, but it just feels like he's going to be inconsistent this year. Like, Cole, like, and he's been better than Cole in 09 overall, but like, it still feels like that kind of year. We talked about it early in the season. We're like, we just hope it isn't a Cole in 09 year. And it feels like it's more veering that way than a NOLA year, you know?
Yeah. But we don't even have to use NOLA. We can use Aaron NOLA, or we don't have to use Hamels. We can use NOLA. I mean, he did this in 2021.
Yeah.
I mean, 2021, he had an ERA over 4 as well.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't even know,
because he pitched deep in, but it also could just be his year. It was weird in 2020, you know, different like year and different whatever, who knows?
Well, I mean, 2021 wasn't as bad as 2020, but I don't know. He's so hit or miss right now. When he's on, he's off. I mean, the Rays start again, we talked about it. It was one of his best starts of his career, in my opinion. And then to follow that up, and like, and what stinks is that he's not riding any of that momentum into the All-Star break. Like, he's not saying like, all right, there's two good starts, like, now I can get rolling. It was again another step back today, and I think it's at this point we just have to not plan on getting the last year Aaron NOLA or the very, very good Aaron NOLA that we've seen for most of his career, and like, we can't bank on it. I mean, that's not something we can bank on anymore, because he's way too hit or miss. And it's frustrating. They can't, again, it's much like the Schwarber thing. Maybe people want to play Pache every day. Until Harper can play first base, he's staying out there. And there's nothing they're going to do about Aaron NOLA. Like, they can go out and trade for a starter, I guess. But he's going to be taking down the ball every fifth day. And you just have to hope that he turns it around. But man, it's just another step back today.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm definitely concerned about that. I still think they need to add a bat more than an arm at the deadline, but it does make you think about it. Like you said, I mean, you know, if you can't, and look, Noel's going to get the ball, but if you can't trust him, he's going to be the two. You know, you have to hope that Ranger and Taiwan continue to look as good as they have. Obviously, we're going to get to Ranger. That's how it's going to get there. But I mean, I don't think you feel great going into the playoffs with that rotation when you're going up against, you know, potentially like, you know, whether it's like Blake Snell and Musgrove, if they can turn around, or, you know, whoever the Brewers are going to throw up against you, or whoever, you know. And I know Burns hasn't been great this year, but you know, you need those horses to be able to go in those spots. All right, Ranger seemed concerned after yesterday's start, or 2 days ago.
Yeah, it just looks flat. Yesterday. Like, all this stuff just looks flat. And it's not that he's missing. I mean, this is how he looked when he came back from the injury and was having the warm up starts before he went on the run, where it's just like no command to either side of the plate. Curveball looks lackluster. And yesterday there was like 5 at bats in a row where I felt like they had the hitter set up for a changeup, and he didn't throw it at all. So I worry that he's in a bit of that period where he doesn't have a good feel for the change, and it's just throwing everything out of whack. Because when he has that pitch, I think he's really, really good. And the hitters are also doing the smart thing, which is they're making sure that he gets into the strike zone. So they're not chasing out. They're making sure that he is on the strike zone. And even when Rainier tries to expand a little bit, they're not chasing at all because they're just going to wait for him to throw them a strike. And then when he throws them a strike, they're not missing it. So I think that, again, you talk about someone that needs the All-Star break. He needs it. I'm telling you, he 100% needs it, because I think that he came back from the injury. He had a good run. And then now there's a bit of that fatigue,
which we see all the time. I mean, that's very common, you know?
Yeah. So overall,
out of spring training, he just had those three starts with the spring training, you know.
But also, there was like some not Ranger kind of things we saw yesterday, the Wendell walks, ball up the middle,
and the bunt. Oh my goodness, you're right. Yeah, like that. I mean, especially the bunt, the Wendell ball up the middle, but the bunt, it's like he catches that every time, like every single time. It was his first fielding error in his career.
I know.
Like, he had a throwing error. It was only his second error. It was his first actual fielding error in his life as a baseball player. It's crazy.
So, definitely not. I'm not like panic button-y with him, but I really, really think he needs that. He needs a little bit of time off here to get rolling back in the right direction. Because everything, and maybe it's a mechanical adjustment they need to make in the bullpen, all his stuff looks like it flattened out. And I don't know. That seems like a mechanical kind of thing to me.
Yeah, I'm not too worried. They've done a really good job with these situations all season long in terms of kind of correcting that stuff and all that. So, look, we'll see. And Ranger historically has had a pretty rubber arm and ability.
Yeah, and Ranger also, every year this happens to him, where there's like a four-start stretch where he's just like, eh. And then he kind of gets rolling again. So maybe we're just in that midsummer lull with Ranger.
Yeah. And again, like ultimately, someone we trust in big games, which is the most important thing when it's going to come to the staff, ultimately. All right. Anything else from the weekend before we get to take bag and draft stuff and all that?
Well, Christian Pache. I mean, just like.
Yeah, what a stud, obviously. Yeah, just love the guy. And then doubles in the first bat the next night. Almost looked like it was going to go out. That one, actually, I thought off the bat felt more like a homer than the one on Friday.
Dude, he reminds me, and I brought this up when he first started playing well, he reminds me so much of BJ Upton. Like, same kind of inside-out swing. And
great fielder. I mean, BJ. BJ was a great. I mean, BJ started as infielder, was able to move to the outfield as a great fielder, all that. Yeah.
Dude, Pache running down
Pache
that ball
is unbelievable. That dude covers more ground than anyone. Like, Marsh is great at covering ground. Like, Pache is better. Pache
different level.
Phenomenal. Yeah, it's a different level. And he's got a great arm. Like, Pache is just terrific.
Did you see Gary Maddux?
No, I'm not that old.
Okay. No. Well, I never know.
I've seen video and stuff, but, you know. No, I'm not. But,
and I, and I tweeted this. I think he's the best individual, like, defensive player I've seen. I mean, like, Freddie comes to mind. Victorino won a gold glove. Worth was a smart defender. Mm-hmm. Bobby Abreu won a gold glove. But like,
Aaron Rowand was very good here.
Yeah, but not Pache.
I agree. I'm just naming
Freddie. Freddie Galvis was a wizard. Mm-hmm. J Roll was great, but I also felt like J Roll just made every single play. You know what I mean? Like, and every throw was perfect. Pedro Feliz was just a vacuum.
Terrific.
At third base. Roland, obviously, we know, but like, but
Pache's up there, man. He might
Pache
be.
is a difference maker in center field, like an absolute difference maker. And I love, and I'm so there's two things that I'm happy about. One, that Rob Thompson came to the conclusion, and two, that Brandon Marsh was okay with it, because we know how athletes are and they're territorial.
That he would let him have center and play.
He lets him have center, and it's like. Yeah. That's big. That's important stuff. And that's camaraderie stuff. And another thing that I loved about Marsh is he was the first one on the field. Like, he still dumped the water on Pache after the walk-off home run. Like, that's a guy that theoretically could be coming to take his job. So it's going to be fascinating. Like, I think they still need to go trade for a bat, in my opinion. But if Harper can play first, like, the Pache Marsh center field, left field, at least defensively,
dynamic.
Nothing's going to fall in. I mean,
well, you're not mentioning the third gold glove outfielder. I mean, come on, Nick Castellanos, Cassie the cannon. I mean, come on.
Yep. I love the kid, man. And you see his growth and his confidence at the plate. Like he like fouled a ball off and he was like mad at himself.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you see like a confident hitter. And that's what I believe he's doing right now. Is like he just has a ton of confidence. And again, seeing him play center field defense and then having that home run. I brought this up on the final out on Friday. Who was the last failed ex prospect that the Phillies have turned into hitting wise that they've turned into something? I mean we go back to Victorino. We go back to
Victorino. Yeah. Like it's been forever.
And that's
forever.
Been the thing that's been forever. So annoying about the last
forever.
They haven't
one too that they're turning to. I mean, they've had at least positive results on two. Like it's actually both those guys in terms 100%. Of like, it's the same model, you know. Pashy ain't even like we've talked about. I mean, Pashy was a top 10 prospect in baseball, and yes, it was because of the defense first and foremost, but like also because everyone believed he had the tools to be a good hitter. He just never been able to put it together there, and like Phillies deserve a ton of credit for that. This could go down as Dombrowski's like best trade with the Phillies. If this guy like continues to develop and turn into like what people thought he could be, like it's phenomenal. It's a really, really amazing move.
And it's probably the biggest question. There's other, but one of the biggest questions heading into the deadline is how much they truly believe in Christian Pache. Yeah.
And Cameron, because
and it's honestly it's a lot like a lot of the decisions that they made in the like 05, 06, 07 range, where they moved on from Rowan for Victorino, they moved on from Jeff Jenkins for Jason Wirth, they moved on from Jim Thome for Ryan Howard. It could be one of those critical decision points where how much do you truly believe in them to where you're maybe not going and investing so much assets to get another bat because you believe that much in Christian Pache's development and you believe that the center field, left field kind of defensive dynamic adds more, adds more value from that standpoint. I don't know if a ball's going to fall in, but it's just going to be really interesting of seeing how much they truly believe in this Christian Pache at the plate thing, because it could affect their whole deadline plan.
Yeah, no, it really could. But I mean, like, I think like the thing that affects it first and foremost is the Harper thing. You know, just kind of taking for granted. But I mean, like, he just got hit in the elbow. Who knows when he'll actually be playing in the field? But yeah, look, it certainly could if they believe that he is that far advanced. And look, I don't expect Pache to continue to hit 330 all season or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, like this is their. We see this all the time where guys figure it out and then they get adjusted to, and then they struggle again, and then they figure it out again or don't or whatever. But yeah, like early results obviously are just unbelievable with Pache. All right, take bag in a second. First, shout out to the Miller Lite bar of the week. We love Miller Lite. Miller Lite, of course. Miller Lite fulfills wins. Miller Lite just consistently. You know,
well, they always perform, James.
When you think of Miller Lite, you think of good Phillies baseball. You think of wins. You think of turning seasons around. So, bar of the week, coincidentally, also a performer and a legendary bar and a winner, Chickie and Pizza Packer Ave, a place that I spent a ton of time at. Our Miller Lite bar of the week is Chickie and Pizza Packer Ave. It's a great place in South Philly. You can watch all the Phillies games, $4 Miller Lite pint specials, $5 Lining Kugel summer shandy's got it. Go to chickenpizza.com. We love Pete. Chicken Pizza is an awesome place. Of course, the crab fries, all the good stuff. So check them out. Miller Lite bar of the week. All right, Fritzy, let's get to the take bag, my friend. And again, I'll set it up and he'll mention it again, I'm sure. But don't forget the draft. Jack will be on while I am fast asleep. Excited to find out what happened and listen to Jack on the way in. But Jack will be up with you guys talking after the draft for the draft sickos like him. He's going to be there for you. So, all right, take back.
Painter thing was kind of I don't really know what to do with the Painter thing.
Dude, I have no idea. All I'll say is we're not seeing him this season. I think we can feel super confident about that.
Maybe September.
Ooh, wow.
Well, I mean, but if we'll see. We'll see how big the setback is. But if it's showing healing, then like, what are we doing here? You know, I mean,
I like it.
So we'll see. Again, there's so many interesting factors heading into the deadline. I mean, three off the top of my head: Painter, Harper at first, and Pache's development.
Yeah, it's a great point. Great point.
Well, and Nola, you know, yeah, wow. we could do all that. Nick Abel and Justin Crawford of the Futures game, dude. Nick Abel looked like nasty. So that was exciting. I wonder if other teams take notice. But either way, fastball is 99. He didn't even throw his slider, and I think that's like his best pitch. So I mean, he did, but he didn't throw as much as I think he could. And then Justin Crawford, he looks pretty competent at the plate. Like, he very clearly knows how to at least put the bat on the baseball, and then we'll see from there if it's like home runs, doubles, or if he's just going to be a singles hitter. But regardless, I thought the fact that he didn't look overmatched, I thought was good for an 18-year-old.
Totally.
He's facing like 97 from the left side too. So.
And again, like, he has all the physical ability in the world. He just, you know, if he could start lifting the ball, like the frame, the whole thing, like there's a ton of upside in that kid.
Yep. Dude, he's playing better. He's hitting some home runs. I'm so disappointed in Trey. Like, I'm just disappointed. Like, he's
in the defense again. Like, it's like every once in a while, it just started, like, you know, obviously we know about the offensive slumps, but it feels like he keeps reverting back to this where he's like not fielding balls cleanly and booting things and all that, man. It's like, it's very strange.
And it's like, it's almost, unless he's hitting a home run, it feels like there's no hard contact.
Oh, it's like, just even like the weak singles, like the little single to right center, you know, whatever.
And like last year, I still believed in Castellanos, the offensive player. I don't know if I'm there with Trey. I really,
it's a very uplifting thing to hear.
Well, it just doesn't look.
I mean, he doesn't look as bad as Cassie looked last year, for what it's worth.
Cassie chased it way more. Yeah, I agree.
Cassie looked lost at the plate. Trey doesn't look lost. He just looks like more feeble than he used to.
Yeah, it's really the feebleness for me, I think.
I get it. Trust me. But remember how feeble Nick was, too. When he put the ball on the bat, it was the similar type of contact. So.
Yeah. I mean,
at least Trey's hitting home runs. You remember Nick decided not to do that for like months at a time or whatever, so.
Well, now he's an all-star. So
no, exactly. So I'm saying, don't give up on our guy yet.
Not giving up on Trey at all.
I like that. Look, I'm disappointed too. Like, there's no question that first, you know, obviously we know it's a little more than half, but the halfway, you know, the all-star break, first half of the season of his Phillies career has been a massive disappointment. There's no other way to spin it.
Yeah. I got to be honest, the Alvarado thing feels like what they did last year. Where it was just like, we got an extended time off right now, and we'll see after two series. I don't think it's a massive cause for concern. I think it's just
he hasn't looked quite the same since coming back from that first, you know, hiatus injury that he had. Like, he hasn't. He's been fine, but he's not been, you know, when he got hurt, he was the best reliever in baseball. He looked absolutely unhittable. Like, we didn't see that guy as much when he came back. He had moments, but certainly not the same guy.
Yeah. I just think that this is one of those times to get him right and get him healthy. What if I told you that there was a player in AAA that over his last 28 games was batting .330 with an OPS over 1,000 that can play second, short, third, center field?
Oh, I know where you're going with this. So Scott Kingery's also been good, huh?
He's also the 11th highest paid player on the team.
He's been good, huh? So I've not been following Scotty at all.
I feel like no one's been following Scott Kingery.
I had no clue.
.330 with an OPS over 1,000.
Great numbers. I mean, those are phenomenal numbers. I mean, that's
in his last 28 games. And my biggest, another one of the key decision points they are going to have is, how much do we value the good clubhouse and vibes guys like a Josh Harrison, where it's like, maybe Scott Kingery is a better option, but Josh Harrison,
I don't think any Phillies fan, you know, is going to be sad if Josh Harrison is.
I know, but he's like a great dude.
Seems like it. Jay, hey, buddy.
And I think everyone loves him. And he made some sick plays at third in the game like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he has some flashes. He has some moments where you're like, oh, there's that guy. I mean, he was a really good. He's had a great career. Like for his talent level and his abilities, like he's really had a really nice career. But, you know, he just looks old out there, man. He just looks like he didn't have it anymore for the majority of the time, at least.
And there's 100% a part of me that is starting to dream about a Scott Kingery like resurgence.
Oh, what a story it would be, right?
It would be a great story.
There's no doubt it would be a great story.
Get Jetpacks back, man. Get Jetpacks back up here. Now they would have to create a 40-man spot for him, but regardless, it's not that hard, I don't think. I've just noticed this last, like, maybe because I'm a dad now and I'm approaching 30, and maybe I've just matured a little bit.
Oh, that's probably what it is.
But do you find it as funny as I do that we as a baseball community encourage managers to go like verbally assault umpires? Like, it's such a fun, like, if that was any other job, you'd be like talking to HR. And the fact that, like, dude, David Ross came out today and was like, "You bleeping suck." And it's just like, what is this?
Yeah. Well, any of this stuff, if you translate it to, you know, again, the fact that the manager wears a uniform is so weird. Like, that's such a weird thing that all of them.
And I love watching.
They're not playing. Like, what are we doing?
I love watching managers get thrown out.
Oh, it's
but, like, they're so mean to umpires, and umpires are just supposed to sit there and take it. Yeah. And it's just like, when did this become like
acceptable
a thing
in a place of work? Yeah, good
point. Dude, it's good, so
take.
Funny.
Good take.
It's the only way I watch ejections now is like, imagine this happening anywhere else and it getting cheered. You know what I mean? Speaking of another thought I had like that, like, when the 1888 team was win, or 189, whatever, was winning
88, I think it was
12 straight road games. Like, were they traveling on train?
No, they were traveling like down the street, probably. Like, it was
like, who were they playing?
Or like a bus, bus.
Like, if they had to go
an hour,
if they had to go play St. Louis or whatever, I mean, that would take them days.
Yeah,
there was no buses in 1888.
Oh yeah, you're right. 1888, there were no buses. I mean, no buses. There was definitely carriages or like
trains had to
trains
be around,
were
right?
Definitely around. Trains were 100% around. So you take trains. I'm just thinking for like local stuff. You know, well, how early were cars? This is showing our.
Was the first car the Model T?
No, that was the first mass produced car.
When was the first car?
Yeah.
1871.
1866. So there were. So maybe there were buses in 1888. How about
No way, dude.
Let's find out.
When was the first bus?
This is riveting podcasting right here. this is good. Steam bus. So the 20th century, like the 1930s, that's too early. 1878. First city-to-city automobile race was in 1878, so that's,
All right, maybe I give the 1888 Phils more credit. But
yeah, I think they were bussing around, buddy. Early buses, maybe. Or,
you know. No, they're probably training. And if they were training, like, there's no way they could have a three-game series and then get on a train to wherever, and they're there the next day. Like, he probably had to have, 3 days off in between?
I don't know. Not 3 days for a train ride. I mean, I guess to like St. Louis. I mean, it wouldn't take that long to get to St. Louis. It's probably like a day, maybe.
It
takes
Missouri.
Takes a day to get to Florida. Like, I don't know which is that much further. Like, if to get to like the bottom of Florida, it's probably pretty close in distance. I don't know. Geography is definitely not my thing, so I'm not gonna pretend to know.
Right.
What else you got? What else you got? It's a good hypothetical. I'm happy you brought it to the table. I'm sure there are listeners out here listening who absolutely know the correct answer to this stuff and are like
yelling at their yes.
Yeah. You morons. I agree with you. We're morons. We know that. Thank you.
There is a special place in my heart over the weekend for all the reactions to Segura. You know, I'm usually not one for like, all right, we get it.
Adorable.
Like,
it was
cool, man. And I actually wonder if some of the Marlins players were like, all right, like,
enough already, guys. Come on. Yeah.
But clearly was beloved here. And it was cool seeing everyone get really happy. I even liked, like, you know, seeing Eflin and Segura in the same week, I thought was fun. And even like when he'd get out, he'd be messing with guys. And I don't know. I thought it was cool.
He was the best, man. He was the best. It reaffirmed what we always said, that the players on the team said that he was like the best teammate. And like everyone's excited to see him. And that's why he's the best teammate, because he creates relationships and he remembers people and cares about people and all that stuff. Like, yeah, it was neat to see.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. Draft tonight.
Let's go. Chase Davis. You are
Chase Davis. And
so set up the timing for people. Like, what time does the draft start? If you had to guess what time
coverage starts at 6, but I'm pretty sure it really starts at 7.
Okay.
And I would think the Phillies will
come on around like 10 or something like that, maybe.
I would think the Phillies are around 9:30, 10. Chase Davis keeps getting mocked to the Phillies. It keeps being like, this is 100% Chase Davis's floor. We think he can. He's probably going to go higher, but he will not get back.
Don't get your hopes up too much.
I am really trying not to. I am really, really trying not to get my hopes up. It won't happen. But if it does, it'll be a thrill. And other than that, like a lot of buzz towards Charlie Soto, who I like, but. And they've had a really good run of success with developing high school arms. He reminds me of, like, he has a couple comps for me. He reminds me a little bit of Tim Hudson. Mm-hmm. He has a little bit of cranky without the command and a little bit of Yordano Ventura.
Nice. Those are some nice comps, right? That's good.
Yeah. So,
Yordano's on guard.
I'm going to be watching the draft on pins and needles. Love and it. I cannot freaking wait. And I will hop on here and talk for as long as I want, because Seltzer will be asleep.
You're damn right, pal. Your Seltzer going to be asleep very soon. Okay. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
Deep breaths.
Chase Davis or someone Jack's happy about. Let's give Jack a win here. And coming out Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, All-Star game at Timeout in Huntington Valley. Until then, he's first himself.